Hi, who's just joined the call?
It's Craig and Keith just joined.
Who is it?
It's Craig and Keith.
Oh, hi, Craig. You're breaking up a lot.
Am I? That's what I was hoping I wouldn't hear. I'm kind of...
Sure amount of static in the background, too.
Okay, does that make any difference?
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I think it's better, Craig.
Sorry, I didn't... Does that sound at all better?
I think so.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you, sure.
Okay, who just joined the call?
Ben Collett, 9/11 Truth, Seattle.
Did you get that name, Craig?
No, I didn't, sorry. Who was that?
Okay, repeat, please.
Ben Collett, 9/11 Truth, Seattle.
Okay, got it, Ben, thank you.
Also, Don Mazzariello is also on the call, so it's just the four of us at the moment.
Okay. Great. It seems whenever I put earphones into my phone, it seems to affect the sound on the other end for some strange reason.
Yeah, I had that problem once before with a earphone I was using with a phone. But I've got a Bluetooth set now that works better. It doesn't seem to interfere. Hi, who just joined us?
James Hufford.
Hey, James.
Oh, hi, James.
Hello.
So far, it's Ben in Washington and Don Mazzariello and myself. Craig and you, James, that's it.
Okay.
Is anyone on the call a member of A&E Architects and Engineers? Hello?
Don't think so.
Okay, let's
Hi, who just joined the call?
Sheldon.
Hey, Sheldon, how are you?
Hi, Sheldon.
Hello.
Sorry, a little late.
I'm sorry, we never start till at least 7:05. Well, it's 7:05. Should we start with the six of us? What do you think?
Well,
it's your call, Ken.
Well,
that would be the smallest start yet, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's really going to be our smallest one yet. We'll probably get some stragglers in later. I don't see any reason for not moving forward. If there's no objection, I'll just go ahead and get going.
Sure.
Okay. And I have already started the recording, so we don't have to worry about that.
Okay. Good. I was going to mention.
You want to take a last minute roll call here?
Sure. I've got six names down here. If maybe I'll just read the six names, and if somebody else is there, then they can speak up. I have Ben Collett, Ken Freeland, Don Mazurlian, Craig McKee, James Hufford, and Shelton Langford. Is there anybody else?
Yes, sir.
I guess that's it for now.
Okay. So, our first order of business is always to approve the minutes of our previous call. We do have a new person. Who's just joined the call?
This is Dwayne.
Dwayne.
Hi, Dwayne. Welcome, Dwayne.
Hello.
Hello.
So, is there any objection to approving the minutes of the May conference call?
No.
Hearing none, then the minutes are approved as posted by our secretary. And we'll now move on to agenda formation. Before we do that, I need to ask for a volunteer to replace me as facilitator for the formation of the agenda. Would somebody volunteer to do that who can be neutral?
You're talking about just the agenda?
Yeah, just the formation of the agenda.
Okay, this is Dwayne. I'll be it.
Thank you, Dwayne. I'll read off what's on the we've all had the draft agenda circulated, so there's no reason to read it off. Dwayne, if you'd like to go ahead and seek approval, because I have a motion to make.
Okay. Well, I'll ask if there's any objections to the printed agenda.
Yeah, I
hearing
would like
none.
To,
oh, okay, go ahead.
Is the printed agenda the same as the draft agenda?
Yeah, it's the same thing, Don.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. This is Ken Freeland. I'd like to make a motion, please, regarding the agenda.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to object to the consideration of Don Mazurlian's Proposal A on the grounds that our teleconference is not equipped to take a position on matters of what did or didn't happen on 9/11. Now, I just want to let you know, Dwayne, as the facilitator, that this is a non-debatable motion, but it does require a two-thirds majority to pass. Okay?
Wait a minute. Excuse me. Non-debatable? I don't understand.
Yes, it's non-debatable.
Excuse me. Ken, I really don't think
Hold on.
This is correct. Okay. All right?
Hold on.
On me last time, too. I believe at the last...
Don.
Hold on.
You don't have the floor.
I believe we have an agenda, and to come
hey,
out and
Don,
say
Don,
to
this,
eliminate
Don,
a discussion
hold on.
Or
Don,
anything for myself is ridiculous.
Don?
Absolutely ridiculous.
Don, can you please wait?
Well, as long as they get a chance to, I want to get a chance to talk before people vote on this.
Well,
you said
I'll ask for any comments.
I object
I'll
to
ask for any comments before we vote.
Yeah, I want non-debatable taken out of there. It's definitely debatable.
Well, hold on.
Okay. It's definitely debatable, Ken. Okay?
I guess I do have... I expect that there's a need for a second. Do I hear a second?
Yes, there is a need for a second. You're correct.
Is
there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. Ken has stated that it is non-debatable. I would like you to explain why that is to everyone.
Sure, I will.
I will explain
why it's not debatable.
Only one person, and that's Ken.
Yeah, thank you. It's non-debatable according to Robert's Rules of Order. It's non-debatable because it does require the two-thirds threshold to pass. It's a specific type of a motion called object to the consideration of the question. Either a supermajority agrees with it in principle, or it does not. If it does not, it does not pass. But it cannot be debated because it
well,
is.
I'm going to object to this kind
Don.
Of railroading by anybody.
Not railroading.
This is
Robert's Rules of Order.
This is completely rotten. In one word, Ken, this is
Don.
Rotten.
Don.
What?
You don't have the floor.
Well, damn it, I'd better get the floor because the agenda says I have three things, and at the last meeting that you just voted on the last minutes, we had changed the format of the thing to read a specific thing, and that's what we're supposed to be voting in. And to come in through the back door with a dirty slider that this is rotten, plain rotten.
Can you...
Can I have the floor, please?
Yes, Ken, go ahead.
I'll try to explain to you again, Don. The reason why it requires a two-thirds majority is because we agreed to consider it. That's why a simple majority cannot undo it, but a two-thirds
majority
can. Why
are you doing
this?
Let me ask why you're doing this,
Don.
Why are you
doing
this?
Don, you have to be quiet. You have to be quiet.
Well, you be quiet, too, for a change. I mean, because you're chairman, you feel you can just do any damn thing you want and railroad anything to and get a couple of people to go along with you. That's not the way it's done in this country.
Don, this is Duane. Ken has turned over the... control of the meeting to me for this matter. So he is not the chairman.
I know. Well,
during this time.
Another nice move. Welcome to Gestapo, Ed, guys. Go ahead. Keep going. I'm listening.
Oh, shoot.
Go ahead. I'm telling you the way it is, not the way you want to hear it.
Okay, we're going to proceed. I don't have any reason to rule against Ken's understanding of the Roberts Rules of Order. And so we'll proceed along those lines. How many do we have voting?
I think that would be checked out. There's a question on Robert's Rules of Order. I believe if something is on the... you hold on. I listened to you long enough, Ken. You hold on this time. I believe by Robert's Rules of Order, if there is an agenda item that was carried over from a previous meeting, then you're out of order to go ahead,
Don,
and try to railroad this, okay?
Don, hold on, Don. What Ken is explaining is it takes a two-thirds supermajority to overrule it.
Good.
That's
so
a very reasonable...
could probably overrule it, right?
That's a very reasonable...
I don't
have very reasonable.
This group. I'm
Hello.
Certain of that.
This is a different person trying to get into the call here. Hello.
Who is this now?
Paul Zaremka.
Okay, Paul.
Hi,
go
Paul.
Ahead.
Welcome to the call.
Okay, so
I'm announcing I'm on the line, and I'd like to know what the question is.
Did you just get on the line?
Just got on the line.
We're void.
Is this, Paul? Can I tell him what the question is?
No, the secretary will call. The secretary will explain it. Is Craig on?
Yeah, I'm here. Paul, basically, Ken has made a motion that requires a two-thirds majority. That we're not equipped as a teleconference to consider the question that's posed in Don's first motion, because we're not able to decide what did or didn't happen on 9/11.
This is not a question. Excuse me. I wish to correct that statement. All right. At the
Who's
last.
Who is this? Who is
this? Don.
Are you correcting my interpretation?
Don, you're not.
Yeah, I'm correcting
Don,
what you just said, Craig. Because what
No,
said
Don, you're gonna have to wait your turn in line.
Okay, then put me on a stack.
Okay, so Craig, can you point out it's item 4A on the printed agenda?
Yeah, which says proposed that the 9/11 Truth teleconference adopt the position that neither airplane impact nor fires caused the collapse. So Ken has made a motion.
Of the Twin Towers, that sentence should be completed. Collapse of the Twin Towers and Building 7 on 9/11/01. That's the rest of that.
We just approved the agenda the way I just read it. So
the motion.
The way it was made.
This is Duane. I'm running the meeting at this point in time. The motion before the that's to be voted on is whether to not include that on the agenda. It takes a two-thirds majority to overrule. No, let's say it takes a two-thirds majority. Ken, can you help me out? Two-thirds
majority
to overrule the motion?
It takes a two-thirds majority to pass the motion.
Okay, to pass the motion.
Correct.
And we have how many voters?
We have
there should be discussion on the motion. I'm sorry. I don't
Hold on, damn it.
I don't know any motion that's ever been done with this teleconference in which discussion was not allowed on the motion. I'm stating there must be discussion on the motion, and since you're trying to take away something that I already did, I have a right to speak before you vote. All right?
This is Dwayne. I'm running the meeting. My understanding is
you don't know the rules of order, Dwayne, okay?
You have to be quiet.
So do you.
My understanding is this is not a motion that can be debated, which means no discussion. But it does take a two-thirds.
I object to that. I don't believe there is any motion that can be not be debated under Robert's Rules of Order. I have run meetings under Robert's Rules of Order. Well, you wait a minute, kid. I'm talking.
This is not to be discussed.
Any motion that is not open for discussion before you vote on the motion, I don't know of one, and I don't believe Robert Rules of Order permits that. So to say something is non-debatable is against Robert's Rules of Order, is what I'm telling you.
Don, you have to be quiet.
Check it out.
You have to be quiet.
You have to listen too.
Paul's an empty on the stack.
Okay, Paul, you can't discuss the motion. You can discuss, I guess, Robert's Rules of Order as they apply
to
this.
That's what I want to do. I was just going to say he's not correct. There are motions in Robert's Rules of Order which are non-debatable. That's for sure, 100%.
Let's have the lynching, guys. Let's go. Get started.
Okay, so I want to make it clear the number of votes it takes to pass.
Two-thirds.
How many are voting?
We have a total of eight people. We have eight people so far, so that would mean six would need to be in vote affirmatively for it to pass.
Okay.
Well, it's a number of voting of the number that vote, though. If only five people vote, then it's the number that would be two-thirds of those people. Okay.
Okay.
If
right.
Something
okay.
Changed, they don't count. They don't count. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to vote, and it'll have to be you have to give your name. There'll be a roll call vote, since we've got to count precisely here, and since I'm running it, I will only vote if it can change the outcome.
Okay,
so,
let's
read the motion again.
The motion
okay,
is
I'm
that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The motion, Craig, will you please state the motion? You're the secretary.
Okay, yeah. I'm hoping I have the right sort of way to word this because I'm not going to do it. But motion made on 10, this conference, it's not to consider this first item on the agenda or this particular item, which is, hold on, it's 4A, I believe.
Yeah.
On the grounds that we're not equipped as a teleconference to make determinations on what happened and did not happen on 9/11, and so requires a two-thirds majority. That's if I said anything wrong in there, please let me know.
Yeah, what you said wrong is that the whole idea of the teleconference is obviously
Don. You're out of order.
We know what happened.
Don, you're out of order.
No, you're out of order, Ken. You listen for a
change. No, this is Dwayne.
Dwayne, right, you're out of order. Listen to what I have to say.
We're having a vote without discussion.
Is this a lynching party, or is this going to be an open debate where we can intelligently discuss? The whole purpose here,
We're not discussing the motion. It's not debatable.
You are discussing the motion. Non-debatable or something else.
Call the roll.
Craig, can you please call the names? Have you got
sure.
The list? Okay.
Yeah, I do. Ben Collett?
Affirmative.
Okay. Ken Treatland?
Affirmative.
Don Mazurlian?
No.
Okay. James Hufford?
Affirmative.
Okay. Shelton Langford?
Affirmative.
Paul Zaremka?
Affirmative.
Okay, Craig McKee, I'm affirmative. So that means we're right now. Motion passes.
Okay, and I will turn the meeting back over to Ken.
Thank you, Dwayne. It was a superlative performance under trying circumstances.
Lynching party begins. Who's got the rope?
You're out of order, Don.
No, I'm not. You're out of order, Ken.
If you continue to be out of order, we'll have to ask you to leave, okay? Just wait your turn to talk. You'll have your turn to talk. 4A, 4B is still on the agenda, but 4A has now been removed from the agenda. So we move to, did we pass the, no, we haven't passed the agenda yet. We're still in the process. Are there any other amendments or corrections to the agenda?
I have
hearing
a...
none.
Paul, now Paul's an actor.
Paul's, go ahead.
Yes, I would like to suggest that item 4B be deleted since it follows from 4A.
Okay. That will also require a two-thirds majority since it was forwarded from the previous teleconference.
You'll have no
but
problem.
But you're not objecting. Are you objecting to the consideration of the question then? Is that correct?
Yes.
I object to it because that was on the agenda. Now you want to throw out everything that was supposed
you're
to be
out of
on
order, Don. Hold on. Please, Paul, clarify your motion. Are you objecting to the consideration of the question, or are you just asking for it? Well, it really doesn't matter because it's the same motion. Okay. So it requires a two-thirds majority. It's non-debatable. Craig, you want to call the roll?
Okay. Ben, call it. Ben? Is Ben still there?
Ben, call it.
Affirmative.
Affirmative, okay. Ken?
I won't vote because I'm the facilitator, unless there's a need for my vote.
Okay. Don?
No.
Okay. James Hufford?
Yes.
Shipman Langford?
Yes.
Paul Zaremka?
Yes.
Dwayne Deese?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes as well. That passes.
Okay, then. Are there any other amendments to the agenda?
Yes. I sent out... Can I talk now, or...
Who's speaking?
Don Masterlian.
Don Masterlian, go ahead.
There was an item C that I had sent out to everyone on the listserv that the July Sovereign was sent out to the front page. So I wrote the article that was titled Explosive Evidence Equals 9/11 Justice, in which I... Look, can I talk without somebody else talking? And the,
nobody else is talking, Don. You have the floor. You have the floor.
To repeat myself, I had sent out to everyone on the listserv the July Sovereign. Did everyone on the call receive that?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody received it. Did anybody read it?
Don, that's not an agenda item.
I want to propose that this be an agenda item since you've taken away my first two.
What is it you're proposing? Be specific about what you're proposing. What do you want on the agenda?
What I'm proposing is that that front page be sent out to all of the members, not just the listserv.
Okay. Your proposal is that we include in our minutes a copy of your article from the Sovereign newspaper. Is that correct?
Correct. Along with whatever statements I had in the...
All right. Are there any objections to including this agenda item? We'll put it, at the end of the agenda behind the last item that is there now. Any objections to it? Hearing no objections, then that will be the last item on the agenda. Any other amendments for the agenda? Hearing none, then we'll accept the agenda approved as amended with Don's item being added to it. Okay, our first item on the agenda then will be follow-up report on our letter of last month to Elizabeth Woodward regarding the consensus panel's use of the word attacks in its literature. Craig?
Okay. Maybe what I'll do is I'll read the response I got from Elizabeth Woodworth. It's pretty short. She says, thank you and the teleconference group for your interest in the success of the 9/11 consensus panel and for the trouble you have gone to in order to improve its approach. We appreciate your support. Both Dr. Griffin and I will be away for the month of June, et cetera, et cetera. She's going to China. She's going to Spain. So they didn't have time to poll the panel as we suggested in the letter. She didn't reject the idea of doing that. She just said they didn't have time. She said, you should know, however, that the panel has been approving the use of the word attacks for over a year, largely without comment from its members during their evaluations. And then she says, in view of the concern you have expressed, however, we intend to create a page of usage notes so that our readers can more easily understand how and why we use the language we do. Best evidence will also be explained as people sometimes misinterpret that. When this page is posted, we will surely let you know. So that's what Elizabeth wrote back. So we really have, you know, we have to sort of wait to see what they do, I guess, next. But it was sort of it was not a hostile reaction. But I wanted to add at the same time that shortly after this whole discussion about attacks, the consensus panel put out a press release about their new set of points, and in that press release, they do something that I think is even worse than using the word attacks, which is to refer to when the Pentagon was struck, as if it's sort of an established fact that it was. And basically, it's an item. It says official sources. This is one of the items that they are dealing with in their new points. Official sources claim that neither Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Acting Chairman Myers, nor War Room Chief General Montague Winfield were available to take command until well after the Pentagon was struck, about 9:37. So I'm just adding that in there because I wrote back to Elizabeth, you know, just representing only myself this time, to express my alarm at that statement. And anyway, after sort of going back and forth a couple of times, she basically said, I understand what you mean. I don't take it as, she said, I can see what you mean, but it doesn't grab me the way it does you. That was her comment. So basically that's where it stands. I don't know what they're, you know, that press release has gone to a lot of different sites, including the Market Watch, which is part of the Wall Street Journal. So, you know, my concern would be that anybody reading that would just take it for granted that this group is saying that the Pentagon was hit. So anyway, but that's not part of our letter. So that's where it is right now. And so I'd certainly report back to the group whenever I get further communication from Elizabeth or David. So that's it.
Okay. Would anyone like to speak to this question? Well, I would like to know what to understand the objection better. I'd like to hear. Is it James? To understand the objection, I'd like to hear an alternative word than struck that you would prefer.
Is this James speaking?
No, this is Ben.
Ben, okay. But please identify yourself or speak. Okay, so you'd like to open discussion for a question of what would be a better substitute. Okay, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else would like to speak to this question?
This is Craig on the back.
Craig and then James?
And Dwayne.
Yeah, Don necessarily.
Craig, James, Don.
I didn't request it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. So it's Craig, Dwayne, Donovan, and myself.
Yeah. All I want to say is that my issue with it was not the word struck, although that, you know, that clearly suggests that something hit the building. But it's the idea that they refer to when it was struck as if it's not even debatable. So it's not changing the word that I would be looking for. It's to word it in a way that it's not taking for granted that something hit the building. So it's not the word, it's more than the word. That's it.
Okay. Dwayne?
I just wanted to let you know that I'm abstaining from discussion and if there's any voting on this topic.
Would you like us to note that in a minute? Would you like us to note that in a minute, Dwayne, that you abstain from this discussion and don't have any
If there's any item gets written up in the minutes, yes, please.
Is there any objection to Dwayne's abstention from the discussion being noted in the minutes and from any subsequent voting? Hearing none, then we'll note that in a minute. Don, you're next.
Yeah, well, the Pentagon was struck, and I believe they knew the time it was struck, so I don't know what we're arguing about.
Okay. Well, I'd like to say that I appreciate Ben's suggestion that we, rather than just tell them what we don't like, we suggest an alternative word that we would prefer to help guide them into the direction that we would like them to go. So I would hope somebody might, if we don't have the idea today, maybe something we could be thinking about on the back burner for our next communication with them, that we would propose the following positive substitutes for the word attack. Might be
on the stack. Structure is a Don Cerulean on the stack to Don.
Okay, Don on the stack.
A struck is grammatically correct and an accurate description. That's something
okay.
The Pentagon. They don't say that what, but something in the Pentagon. It was struck, and there was a certain time that was struck because that was recorded.
Paul Zarembka on the stack.
Paul, you next.
Yes, that's not correct, that there's no controversy that the building was struck. CIT people say there was explosives in the building, and the building was not struck.
I believe they found parts of a...
No, Don, you don't have the floor, Don.
Without getting into it, actually, yes. The Pentagon is peanut.
Don, you're out of order. You're out of order. Paul, sir, has the floor.
On the stack.
Okay. Gotcha, on the stack. Paul, continue.
No, I'm finished.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
All right, the Pentagon is like a gnat on a fly's ass compared to the World Trade Center. All right, the number of people that died in the Pentagon is so far less than what happened in the thing. And to endlessly debate what whether it was just explosions or whether it was a combination and explosions and some type of aircraft that struck the building. The very fact there was a hole that had the shape of the wings in it that was smaller than a 747 or what have you means it was struck by an aircraft, and I believe there were also explosions that went off too at the same time. So, but this, the Pentagon is peanuts compared to the Trade Center.
Okay, so we're out of time on this issue, so if there's no objection, I'm just going to thank Craig for his report, and we can move on to the next agenda item. The next agenda item is also Craig, topical discussion, impressions of the Vancouver hearings. You want to lead us off on that, Craig, please?
Yeah, sure. I'll just give a couple of impressions and then leave it, to anybody else who wants to comment. One thing, somebody on our call tonight, Dwayne, gave a presentation about the destruction of the towers that I found very interesting, and he dealt with the possibility that there was a nuclear component to it, and I found that really not only interesting, but I found it a positive thing to have somebody of Dwayne's stature talk about a subject that some people consider very controversial, and I like the fact that I like the idea of us kind of breaking down some of the walls between these different theories, because our idea seems to be that, if a person that you support says something you don't support, then by association your credibility can be harmed. And I think this whole thing's kind of way overblown. So I thought the fact that Dwayne had the courage to tackle something that was, less conventional was excellent. There were lots of, from what I understand, I only watched part of it, or a good chunk of it, I guess, on the live streaming, so I didn't see all the presentations. I know Barbara made a presentation where she now makes the case that a small aircraft hit the Pentagon near the heliport, with the left wing of that aircraft hitting the helipad, and that this crash is what stopped the clock on the teleport clock at 9:32. So she doesn't clearly agree with the consensus panel's timing in that phrase we just talked about. There was also a big discussion about the Israeli, potential Israeli connection, and that led to a really kind of a conflict between one of the speakers, Tarpley and Setzer and Blakey, the two organizers. Webster Tarpley minimizes that connection, and the other two kind of jumped on him for that. That was probably one of the weak points of the whole thing, was the fact that there were a couple of cases when Jim Fetzer, the organizer, kind of, you know, he was emceeing and at the same time was kind of jumping in and taking shots at the person who was answering the questions. So he, I think, would have been much better to have somebody neutral handle those duties while he got involved. So they had all kinds of technical problems, and the attendance was kind of disappointing from what I understand. About 50 people were there live. But once they got the technical things ironed out after Friday night, I found there were a lot of very interesting presentations, and some of them that were, you know, considered to be really controversial, you know, they happened, and the positions were laid out, and, you know, the sky didn't fall. So I like the fact that there was less sort of fear about just somebody saying something that would harm the credibility of the movement. So I think overall there was a lot of positive that came out of it. So I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Craig. Would anybody else like to speak to this question?
This is Dwayne.
Dwayne, go ahead.
Craig, I appreciate your favorable comments on my talk. I did have some people afterwards very upset that I even appeared on the same stage with someone that presented Dr. Judy Wood material. So we have extreme views on that whole subject. And also Ben was at the conference, so maybe he could give some on-hand comments. Over.
All right.
Well, I thought it was very positive. I think Craig gave a good overall description of it, the pros and cons. The fact that a number of so-called controversial subjects were freely discussed, I think definitely is a historic first, and something we can take pride in. Okay. Anybody else like to say anything on this? Okay. Hearing no other speakers, and thank you for your report, Craig.
This is Dwayne again.
Dwayne, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on another aspect of it that maybe hasn't been brought out. The hearings are actually moving towards making some identifying people, persons of interest. And so the speakers have been asked to name two or more individuals and submit evidence that would, let's say, be a basis for them being then questioned by authorities, if it ever gets to that point. So I think that is another, it's a step towards actually going beyond the what happened and moving towards the who part of the equation, which I think will end up being a significant thing. Over.
Okay.
On the stack.
Great. Mm-hmm. Don, go ahead.
I want to follow up what Dwayne is saying, is that it's important, correct me if I'm wrong, Dwayne, but I believe what you're saying, that it's important to move towards not just what happened, but who was involved. The who is going to happen through a grand jury investigation. That if any of you read the July Sovereign, you've got the means by which this can happen that I propose there. I'll talk about it when we get to that part of this meeting.
Okay,
this
anybody
Dwayne,
else
Dwayne,
want to speak
yeah,
to
Dwayne
me?
Again? Duane again on the back. So the speakers actually were treated as part of a grand jury. We were sworn in, and we are still under oath until we have submitted our evidence that goes with persons that we would say would be persons of interest. So that is that means that's different than
point of information. Point of information,
yeah.
Duane.
Yeah.
Whether you treat it as part of a grand jury or part of a grand jury investigation.
It's like a grand jury, and it will come up with, let's say, the output of this whole thing.
Right, my question is whether you speakers were being considered part of the grand jury or just people who were being interviewed by the grand jury. Which would you say it was?
I thought it was just people that were being interviewed, and I thought that the judges were the grand jury, and we were witnesses. But more recently, I get the feeling in later communications that it's like we, even including the witnesses, are part of a grand jury. I'm not real clear on that distinction.
On a stack.
All right, go ahead, Don, and then we're running out of time. Go ahead, Don.
Okay. I want to commend you, Duane, on the way that was set up. Now, if I understand you correctly, can anyone give input to you of names that should be investigated? This is almost like a subpoena, a list for a subpoena. Is that correct?
Well, any subpoena would be going. It would be done by some other group. It would be a special prosecutor set up by some authority other than this
right,
body.
But the names that are being submitted would be the people that would be subpoenaed, is what I'm saying. If I understand you correctly.
Yeah, I would say that if names could be offered to some of these witnesses, for example, you could suggest a witness. A person to me, but I would only consider it if it pertained to the subject matter that I presented. So I think we're in this time period between now and the 7th of July when the witnesses, which is the speakers, are putting together their short list of people that ought to be questioned under oath.
Yeah, well, I'll give you one name right now, Duane, Marvin Bush. He was in charge of security of the Trade Center buildings, and also he was involved with security at United American Airlines.
So I'll take that name into account.
Marvin Bush.
Okay, I think we're out of time on this issue. Thank you all for your input, and Craig for your report, and let's move on to our next item, which is finding eyewitnesses to the plane strikes in New York City. Is Tom Twedden on the call? Thomas Twedden? Since he's not on the call, I would assume that we will postpone this item until he can be on the call to lead the discussion, because it was just a question. Is that agreeable to everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. Hearing no objections, we'll just postpone that item until Tom can be on the call. Fred will have to do that possibly with the next one, too. The next one was also from Tom. Topical discussion, the presence of spurials of elemental iron in the dust from the WTC. So if there's no objection, we'll postpone that item also until Tom can be here to lead the discussion. I should note, though, that he did post a very informative response on that particular question on the listserv today for anybody that's on the listserv. It's unfortunate that he's not here because he's clearly knowledgeable about the question. Mm. All right. So those two items will be postponed until Thomas can be on the call. Last topical discussion item is David Ray Griffin's approach to 9/11 research, introduced by the video Paul Zaremka and David Ray Griffin, the 7-minute video that Paul asked us to look at. So, Paul, this is your item. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just let me just introduce a little bit more what the item was. When I was removed from the 9/11 consensus panel, I was asked to be interviewed about why it happened. So I was interviewed. That was a that was made up only within the last week or two as a 26-minute video. And then that was segmented by the videotaper and the interviewer into three short segments. One of them is on CIT. That's 4 minutes long. The second one was on Griffin and myself, which is the one I put on the agenda for today. And the third one is also relevant to the consensus panel because it deals with the what directly deals with the consensus panel, but also with the use of the what do they call the method of the consensus panel? I forgot the word for a second. But anyway, so this thing I presented today basically interrogates three issues about how David Ray Griffin has approached 9/11 research in the immediate past. Well, actually, going back to 2006, most immediately was his completely ignoring the issue of CIT, didn't discuss it in any way whatsoever in his most recent book. And I think that as a scholar, that's just not acceptable. You at least you deal with such significant evidence as CIT people presented, and I have no understanding of how you could pass it over and not mention at all when you have a whole chapter dealing with the Pentagon. The second item I have on that video, that for those of you who might have seen it, was the issue about insider trading in 9/11 that obviously would occur before 9/11, and I just made that was not such a detailed discussion because I've done that elsewhere. But the only point I was making there is that he turned out to be wrong when in 2006 he made the claim that there was insider trading on American Airlines, and only in 2009 did the government come forth with real evidence that there wasn't insider trading on American Airlines stock. That's a little bit of a whole discussion, and I've already written an article about that, so I don't see any reason to go into that in detail. But the point was that when he had written his discussion about insider trading, it was basically based on the logical contradictions of the 9/11 Commission report, which is there's no problem with his statements about the logical contradictions, but it turns out that the logic just doesn't take you very far. And this, so it's a, I'm suggesting that doing just logic is not a sufficiently solid ground to do 9/11 research. The third item was on voice morphing from the passengers on flight UA-93, and I had communicated with him about that issue for many years, and he never really answered me. He just sort of passed over the issue about the fact that many of the passengers were late arrivals, and therefore you would not have known they would be on the plane in time to do morphing of their voices. And so finally I got an answer last October, which in his answer was, well, the government could take voices of people over many years and presumably over many airports and have them all ready for anybody who happened to come in on the plane at the last minute, in which case if you're wanting to have them use them for some kind of nefarious purpose, you have to know more than simply that they're on the plane and what their voice was. You have to have ideas about what they would say, which means you'd have to know something about their family. So basically you're talking about millions of people's not only voices but identifying information about that. And I think, frankly, that's a kind of a desperate counter-argument that basically he hasn't dealt with the problem of late arrivals coming into UA-93 if he wants to defend the idea of voice morphing. So that's, I'm just giving you a summary in about 2 minutes of what the 7-minute video says.
Okay. Would anyone like to respond?
This is Duane.
Go ahead, Duane.
Yeah, so Paul, I'm just going to pick on one subject, which is the Pentagon witnesses. When I read his chapter on this, I guess I wasn't overly concerned about him leaving out CIT, because what I thought he did is kind of ridiculed the hundreds of witnesses that are claiming, basically, that are supporting the official story. I thought that mainly what he presented was all the reasons why these witnesses are either part of mainstream media or part of aerospace interests and things like that. So they're not witnesses that you can make use of. And I thought that that was his main point, and therefore I wasn't all that concerned that he didn't bring in the CIT witnesses. Over.
Anybody else want to speak? Craig and then myself. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, I guess I'll just mention something that I've already said in past calls, I guess, that the thing that alarmed me the most about Griffin's chapter on the Pentagon, besides what Paul said about not mentioning CIT, and I believe he didn't mention pilots for 9/11 Truth either, except maybe in a footnote, but the thing that alarmed me the most was that he was taking he was basically elevating a very small group of people who claim that a plane did hit, and he was giving them much more importance than I think their arguments merited and their numbers merited, frankly. He was, in an effort to try to reach consensus, to kind of move the movement towards consensus, he was giving Frank Legg and David Chandler and Jonathan Cole and Jim Hoffman and people like this, he was giving them equal weight to all the people, including himself, who don't believe that a plane hit. And I think that, and especially in his Toronto presentation, where he basically, when he talked about the Pentagon, almost every sentence that he said was quoting one of those people. So I think he gave them way too much importance, and that, you know, his own opinions about the Pentagon prior to that book coming out were much preferable to what he said or what he said in that. So that's all I've got.
Okay. Well, Paul, you know, I watched your film, and I will just say this, that while I do understand your third objection that you mentioned to Griffin's treatment of the voice morphing and all that, his response to you is only unrealistic if the passengers on that plane were as random as you believe them to have been. Mm-hmm. If, in fact, there was not a plane, or if there was a predetermined passenger list of people who were not on the plane and so forth, it would have been relatively easy for them to, you know, get the background information on a limited number of people. So I just wanted to throw that out there as a possible comeback that would make more sense as a counter-argument. Not that I accept it, just that I think, you know, logically speaking, it would account for their ability to have done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to say, this is James, I'd just like to say that my thinking on that issue pretty well follows what Ken has said, but he found I thought that the way that I would considering bringing it up would just open a whole can of worms and decided not to, but he found a more direct path, and I basically agree with what Ken said as a hypothesis anyway. That gets around the objection,
yeah.
I believe.
This is Dwayne.
Go ahead, Dwayne. Yeah.
This particular flight, 93, what pops in my mind, although it wasn't stated in any of this, is that none of the family members showed up at LAX where the plane was going. That tells me in a pretty big way that there's something different about that set of passengers.
Yeah, you bet.
Over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah, me, Paul.
Paul?
Yeah, I would like to make a couple of reactions. First of all, just on Ken's comment, Pay attention to the kind of like the very last sentence or the last paragraph of that video, because there I said that I'm not making any claims that there's of what happened on the plane. I'm only following the logic of listing all the passengers of 93, flight 93, finding out, which I did, finding out how many of them were late arrivals, I mean very late arrivals in some cases, and how many of those were ones who Griffin claimed to have used in voice morphing, and that's what I'm saying. His argument, which I, maybe you didn't see it, but I have a comment at the bottom of the video in which I actually quote his sentence, and I'm really reacting to that sentence. If you didn't scroll down a little bit, you wouldn't see the sentence, but it's there. So that's, I think he was saying that there was voice morphing of millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people, and getting their names and family and history and all that kind of stuff as part of his appearance argument. I'm not making an argument about what actually happened that day. I was just answering, I was addressing his. Dwayne, on your comment, I can only say that this chapter was on the Pentagon, so, and it's 10 years later. So I treated that chapter, which was a new chapter, by the way, in his book. It was only two chapters besides the conclusion, which were new. I treated that chapter as kind of a summary argument about what he knows about the Pentagon. And in my judgment, the very best primary research that has been done on the Pentagon is by the CIT people. And you simply don't ignore it. I mean, you can put a footnote and saying, I'm ignoring it for this purpose or whatever. I don't know. But you don't just forget about it. Pretend like it's not there. I also share what Craig said about who he did talk about. On the other hand, Dwayne, I do agree with you. There is a contribution in that chapter, as you described. The contribution you described is a contribution. But it's also consistent with what CIT people said about those 100 people.
One quick question. What is CIT?
Citizens Investigation Team. Citizens Investigating or Investigation Team. CIT.
The last word was what?
Team. Football team.
Team. Okay. Citizens Investigation Team. Okay.
Yeah. I think I sort of reacted to whatever.
Yeah, this is whatever.
Okay. Paul, are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on this before we move on? Okay.
I wanted to make a comment. Actually, one of the more interesting speakers I thought at the conference was Dean Hartwell, who gave a talk about the were there any passengers at all? And I think this is a very interesting area of research that might have some bearing on Paul's comments.
Yeah, I agree. I agree
yeah,
with that.
I agree, and I recommend his two books. I don't know how solid his research is, but speculatively, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we've exhausted this topic. Thank you all for bringing it to our attention and for your film. Let's move on now to the last item. Don Zerlian requests that his Sovereign article of last week be included in the minutes.
I'd like to get some discussion on this first. I'd like to make a couple of statements. First, in the article, I quote Shelton Langford. Now, is this the same Shelton Langford that's on this call?
Yes. Sorry, what's the con?
Well, did you read the Shelton? Are you on the listserv that, or did you read
I'm on the listserv. Don't recall the details of the reading.
You recall that I sent you the front page of the Sovereign?
Yeah, I know it's on there. I just looked for it and
if you get a chance to look at it, because I do quote you directly, in which I'd like to just repeat what you said, and that is this. It's in the Sovereign. September 11, 2001 seems destined to be the watershed event of our lives and the greatest test for our democracy in our lifetime. The evidence of government complicity in the lead-up to the event, the failure to respond during the event, and when I turn the page, and I'll continue exactly your own words.
Let me interrupt you for just a second, Don. Does anybody have background noise going on that might want to mute by sitting *6? If you do, we'd appreciate it if you do that because it's distracting. Go ahead, Don.
All right, and continuing, it says, the astounding lack of any meaningful investigation afterwards, as well as the ignoring of evidence turned up by others that renders the official explanation impossible, may signal the end of the American experiment. It has been used to justify all manner of measures to legalize repression at home and as a pretext for behaving as an aggressive empire abroad. Until we demand an independent, honest, and thorough, and I put the word grand jury in parentheses there, investigation, and accountability for those whose action and inaction led to those events and the cover-up, our republic and our constitution remain in the gravest danger. Congratulations to you, Lieutenant Colonel.
That yes, those are my words.
Those are your words. I quote it, right? And then I also quote the 9/11 consensus panel, and in it, the best evidence pertaining to WTC-7 was that scientific analysis by mathematician David Chandler shows that WTC-7 came down in absolute free fall for a period of 2.25 seconds. NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology, parentheses, draft for public comment had been challenged by Chandler and Dr. Stephen Jones in a public review. And NIST then reanalyzed the fall of WT7. In its final report, NIST provided a detailed analysis and graph that WTC7 came down in free fall acceleration for over 100 feet, or about 2.25 seconds, consistent with the findings of Chandler and Jones. And then I emphasize free fall can only occur when a controlled demolition, parentheses, explosives are used to collapse a building. And then I quote Barry Jennings, which you can go on YouTube and say and see. And he stated, you can see this on YouTube, that explosions occurred in the basement of WTC-7 before the Twin Towers collapsed. That's early in the morning. The WTC-7 didn't collapse until about 5:30. And that he could feel dead, and I put down New York Police Department bodies, because in his video, by the way, I believe he was murdered, and because he was only 53 years old, and he died under, quote, mysterious circumstances, similar to John Kennedy dying under mysterious circumstances. And the important point is he said that when he went into the lobby at Building 7, probably before around 9 o'clock in the morning, that the lobby was just the way it always is, but it was loaded with policemen. The New York Police people department were in there. And in fact, they were escorted him up to his office, and then he was told to leave the building. And when they left, he was descending a stairway when explosions occurred that blew out the platform he was standing on. And he saved his life by grasping the railing and pulling himself up. He was also with the city attorney. I believe his name is Hess at the time. But I don't think you'll ever get a statement from Hess just because he is the New York City attorney. But the important point is that even though the man is dead, you can see exactly what he said. And if you go on and check out who died in the World Trade Center, the official stories, there were no injuries or deaths in Trade Center, which is a goddamn lie, and just like everything else. So what I'm asking is that this is what I believe one of the most important articles I've ever written on anything, because the cartoon, if you remember the cartoon, has a rat trap with a piece of cheese marked Guantanamo 5. And I just want to read something real quick on this. All of my articles have a quotation, and the quotation I use is this: 9/11 was a false flag operation planned and executed by the CIA and the Mossad. Now, that was quoted by Francis Kosiga on November 30th of 2007. And Mr. Kosiga was the former Italian Prime Minister.
Don, excuse me. I'm going to have to interrupt here because you've been speaking for 5 minutes and others need a chance to respond to your proposal.
The whole point is I would like to, asking that this article, that what I sent you be sent to all 400. And I did have a note in it that I wanted to ask to be included. Let me just get that here. I'll read that off, because it's very short. Am I correct that nobody on this call looked at that article? Is that correct? Hello,
correct.
Anybody out there? Correct, okay. Well, all right, it may be worthwhile looking at, because especially you, Mr. Langford, since I'm quoting you, I think it'd be worth your while to look at it.
I'll look
essentially,
at it.
I would like to have this sent to all of the members with the statement also that anyone interested should look at the website for the SOV, which is, I can send you the thing, and I'll give you the website. Directed to that.
Let's try this, Don. Would there be any objection to including in the minutes Don Israelian's request that his article in the Sovereign, which would be linked, be viewed by our list of invitees? Any objection to that proposal? Hearing no objections, then we will note in the minutes that Don has requested that people read that article, and the link will be in the minutes.
Good.
Is that all right, Don?
That what I wrote in my email, it'll give you the website that you can also look at other articles or the archives there. I write two articles at once, one scientific and one political. Scientific one is also in there, and anyone interested.
Well, it's getting kind of muddled, and it's unclear now what you're asking
I'm asking them to look at this, and I also want them to give information of the website where they can look at our archived articles.
All right. So you would like them you would like a link to both of those things in the minutes. Any objection to those links being put in our minutes? Hearing no objections, then Don's request that people look at both of those links will be set in the minutes for this meeting. Okay. All right. We are now at announcements. Does anybody have any announcements?
This is Dwayne.
Dwayne, go ahead.
There's a effort going on in the UK. There are three individuals that have basically objected to the way BBC has covered 9/11. And they've noted that there are laws, I call it federal laws, I don't know whether to use federal there. There's UK laws that require the BBC to be accurate, basically. I don't know what word they use. They cannot be presenting propaganda. So whatever the language is, these three individuals in the UK have basically gone to higher levels, and so they're now dealing with the equivalent to our Congress, the Parliament over there, to review what the BBC has done. And so there is a committee within the Parliament that has responsibility for that. the reason I know about it is I was contacted by one of the three to ask if I would write a letter from the on the airplanes part of the issue, basically explaining why what BBC presented was not accurate and was false information. And so I've done that, and there's also a letter from Richard Gage and also one from Eric Lawyer from the firefighters and architects.
Dwayne, I'd like to add one, write a letter also. The cover, the BBC coverage of Building 7, in which a BBC reporter a half hour before the building
Hold on, Don. I can't change what they're doing over there.
No,
I just
saying, can anybody
I'm just
else
telling you.
Don,
you don't have the floor. Dwayne has the floor, okay?
I'm just,
go ahead,
this is just an informational purposes.
Well, that's exactly what I'm interested in.
I think the three of them have a good handle on what they need to do within their own governmental system. And I think they're going to the next level within their parliament. And so I think it's good news. Over.
Can I get on this one? Go ahead, Don.
You can speak. Okay. Go ahead, Don.
All right, Dwayne, are you familiar with the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11? Dwayne?
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
Well, the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 that was edited by John Harkin set out. He put out about four editions. I contributed to the first edition on this about 8 years ago.
And this is the one that was held in San Diego?
No. This is a report. Well, it's a report that's put out. There was a link to the entire report on my 9/11.
Okay, so I'm not familiar with it.
All right,
and
so
I
what
don't...
I'm saying, and I'd like to present, I can send it to you and put it down on the listserv of exactly what I would like to have also presented.
I think it's too late. It's too late.
Well, you said July 7th.
No, that's something different. That's something different.
Oh,
that has to do with the Vancouver hearings.
No, that's all right. I'm just saying. Because in it, it's so clear evidence that a BBC reporter stated that Building 7 fell while the building is still standing in the background on TV. I think that's the best thing right there.
I can't help you. I'm only dealing with airplanes having to do with the BBC.
Right. Well,
so
that's why
I
said,
is there a way that anybody else can contact these people if they have information like Don would like to submit to them? Is there any way to get a hold of them and submit information?
Don, if you send me what you've got, I will send it to my contact.
Great.
But I'm telling you, I think
I'll
it's too
it
late.
Well, I'm just saying,
late.
I'm just asking to send
okay.
it, whether it's late or not late.
Yeah.
Okay,
All right.
I'll put it on the listserv.
This is Dwayne. I'm not on the listserv.
Give me your email address. Dwayne, give me your email address.
I'll send you an email so that you'll get
send me an email and I'll reply.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dwayne. Does anybody else have any announcements? I'd just like to announce that our local 9/11 Truth Group hosted Sandra Hicks. I'm sure some of you remember Sandra Hicks from our Mistreason of Treason days. Mm-hmm. And he has written a new book called Slingshot to the Juggernaut that he's on a tour to sell. And he's now up in Austin, I think, and then he's going to California from there. But I just want to let you know that he's
coming to our group in Iowa on July 31st.
Okay.
Do you have a contact for Sander, by the way? He's been a guest at my home. Do you have a contact for Sander?
I have his email address on. Would you like it?
Yeah, would you do that?
I'll send it to you, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks.
Okay, so any other announcements before we adjourn?
Yeah, and then one final one real quick is that the August Sovereign is going to have a picture of the four monkeys. Do no evil, see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. And underneath it, it's going to state NYPD and 9/11 Commission. Then we're going to have a circus tent with three flags. The center flag is going to be the American flag. The other two flags are going to be the Israel flags. And there'll be an axis going down through each one. The two outer ones will be building one and building two, and the center axis will go through building seven. And then beneath the ground, there will be explosions denoted in the cartoon. And under that will be the word Axes of Evil. That'll be the cartoon. And
okay, thank you for the doc. All right.
All right.
Okay. All right, so if there are any more announcements, then I think we've reached the end of our call, and thank you all for your cooperation today, and keep on struggling for 9/11 truth. We'll see you at the last Wednesday in July for the next teleconference.
Thanks, Ken.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
thanks.
Special thanks to Tom. To Tom, for joining.